Hi, it's Robert. Just letting you know this episode was actually recorded yesterday. Due to a little technical difficulty, I wasn't able to load it until today. So this was actually recorded Wednesday. It's about communism and the left's push at total control and all the ways they use to manipulate us. And at the end, I tell you why this is doomed for them to fail. Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 21st, 2021, and I'm your host, Robert. Hope everybody's having a good week so far, such as it is in these times that we're living in right now. Originally, I was going to get behind the mic yesterday and get a podcast out, but I just wasn't in the right mindset, and I don't think I had my thoughts really gathered in the way that you need to have them to be able to do this. Just one of those annoying days. I'll talk about it in a minute. Today, after I get done with the podcast and I get it loaded, I'm headed over to my father's house. He lives about an hour away, and we're finally going to get some wine that we made bottled. It's a white wine we've been working on for a while, so today's the day. I had mentioned that last time, but I couldn't find my bottling wine last time, so we had to put it off. So today it is going to be a bit of relaxation, a day of doing something fun with the family. But first of all, let's get this episode done. So I'm not a big social media guy. I was briefly and rarely on Facebook, didn't really use it. Same can be said of Twitter. I was on there just briefly, left there early when they started to censor everybody. I do have Instagram because I love images. I just absolutely love photos. And I have a personal account where I post, you know, just my day-to-day nonsense. And then I had one for the podcast show and Instagram removed it one day without any kind of warning whatsoever. So I made another one for the t-shirt shop. I still have that. That's still up, but that's it. But after some long deliberation with myself, I finally decided to join TikTok, which for me was the most ridiculous of the platforms because I have people sending me stuff from there. And every time it's really just, you know, it's people dancing or women trying to get attention by, you know, wearing as little as possible, unfunny people trying to be funny. Mostly it was the dancing. So I had this prejudiced idea of the whole platform going into it. So when I joined, I put up a couple of quick videos, one being just an intro video of who I was basically and, you know, talking about what I do and what I talk about on the show. Well, after a couple more videos got put up, which I thought were, you know, harmless, the intro video got flagged for a community guidelines violation. So I appealed it, put up more videos. A couple days later, it got put back. Yesterday morning, I got a notification that I was banned for 24 hours. Banned from posting, rather, not kicked off the site. You know, I could still interact with people and like their videos and comment and stuff like that. I just couldn't upload anything. So here we go with the censorship again. And really, I can't figure out what it was because I've seen way worse stuff on there. One video I posted was about three different scenes from the protests going on over there in the UK regarding the planned vaccine passports. And I've seen tons of other videos of the protest. I got flagged. I can't tell you why. So after that got taken down, I put up a video of a young Fidel Castro saying he's not a communist and their movement has nothing to do with communism. They were into social justice and a planned economy. So I wrote in the text, you know, doesn't this sound familiar? And that was taken down for hate speech. So all of a sudden, people following me suddenly slowed to a crawl and I figured, okay, here comes the shadow ban, you know, already. So I got a bit discouraged. I got pissy. So I spent some time on the app kind of looking around and see what other people were posting, trying to see what the language was that they used. You know, I followed a bunch of other patriots and learned maybe how to say things in a less New Jersey kind of aggressive manner that may have gotten me banned in the first place. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. I will say that I was wrong about it just being dance videos. I mean, that's most of what the app is, you know, 80%, whatever, and cat videos and whatever. But there is a huge, huge community of Trump supporters and American-loving patriots on there. So hopefully I'm able to stay on there without getting banned again, and I can contribute and grow the audience here. Now, the censorship and some of the stuff we're seeing around the world right now is what I want to talk about, and that's the huge push for socialism and communism. Right now, it's kind of under the guise of COVID, of course, and just doing what's right to protect us from ourselves, you know, that kind of thing. Some people are brave enough to just kind of come out and say that this is their agenda, like, you know, AOC, she makes no bones about it. She's a social democrat. She's a socialist. Others are avoiding the terms while they still enact the policies. And it's happening now in this country big time. There's no way in a simple podcast episode like this that I can cover everything about communism. It's just too massive a subject. And I'm not actually going to be talking just solely about communism, but more about tactics. I wanted to talk about some of the concepts or some of the reasoning behind why they've been successful in gaining a stronghold recently, where if we think back not too long ago, it would have seemed impossible to be in the situation that we're in right now. So for a while, in no real particular order, I'm just going to talk about some of my ideas on the subject, how I think they operate, and then we'll get into some articles about recent, current events, talk about how some of these things relate to the overall push for totalitarian authority that's going on right now. I think one of the hardest concepts to grasp for conservatives, Christians, or really for that matter, any religious person, people who have a good heart and just want the best for everybody and to be left alone, that whole, you know, live and let live philosophy. What we often aren't able to comprehend is that concept of wanting to rule over others, that need a certain segment of the population has to not only have power and wealth, but ultimate power, to micromanage, to dictate, to enforce, to punish, to isolate, to degrade, and dominate their fellow man. It's just a foreign idea to anything that we would want to do, that it actually seems to us to be like satanic or evil. And we make the mistake of not recognizing the numbers of people that adhere to this idea. We explain it away in our heads by using the most extreme examples, right? The most extreme examples possible. And we kind of tell ourselves, well, these evil people only come around once in a while. Roman dictators, historical figures like Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, okay, those kind of people. But we fail to see their true numbers because they were subtle about it. They smile big, they wear great suits, they get on the media, and they seem like pleasant, personable people. They weren't the loud, bombastic, World War II style dictator. They sought power through deal-making, controlling the money supply, infiltration of our schools, and turning generations of kids against the country and against capitalism. Taking over the media, day by day, year by year, planting their thoughts and their immorality and their ideas into our heads so slowly that we didn't even see it. They kind of snuck in under the radar, and because they gained control of the finances and of government, then they started to prey upon people's weaknesses, right? With bribes and payoffs and quid pro quo deals, and corrupted more people in government than we can even count at this point. What Trump refers to as the swamp, obviously. Now, we live our lives in exact opposition to this. We don't want to rule. We don't want to take over the lives of other people and dominate them and tax them and tell them what they can or can't do or say. It's such a bizarre concept to people like us. I don't like liberals. You know, the ideology, it's not that I don't like people. I don't like their ideas. I don't like what they say or what they think, but I don't want to make lists of them and censor them and ban them off the internet and ruin their lives, close their businesses. That's evil. But that's what we've come to. This evil that we are surrounded by now is larger and deeper and more complex and more planned and thought out than we realized. We know there needs to be a government, but that government is supposed to be one from the Constitution, of our people, for our people, serving us. The government, really all they're supposed to be doing is securing and protecting our rights. What we have now is nothing really short of a dictatorship, and yet We've been conditioned to accept this. And if you think we haven't, granted, I'll say that most people don't like it and we're vociferous about it. But look what we've accepted over the years, right? Look at the Obama administration and all the crimes that they committed. Now, we have an election steal where Republicans in the swing states aren't even rallying in front of the state houses demanding full audits. We had Republicans controlling those legislatures, and we had tons of Republicans in these states, and they can't even find the energy to go and protest. Okay? If we hadn't been slowly worn down and demoralized, we'd be in a near riot situation right now, just like they are in Europe, over in France and England. Okay? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people out on the street. Instead, we say, well, nothing's going to happen anyway, and we go back to watching TV. So yes, we've been demoralized. So we have to admit to ourselves that we allowed a threat to our freedom and our country to grow right under our noses, and we either willingly turned a blind eye to it when we saw it, or we told ourselves, you know what, it's never going to get that bad. That can never really happen here. I mean, this is America, right? Or maybe a lot of people were totally blindsided. They didn't even see it at all. You know, maybe they were just distracted. Point is, it's at our doorstep. Our country is divided like never before. We have a lot of challenges ahead of us. And if we're going to permanently take back this country, we have to not only win the current battle that we're facing, but we also need to do more to spread our way of life, our belief in this country as it was founded. We need to stamp out the spread of this ideology, recognize why it took hold, and then counter the arguments used against our own fellow citizens to brainwash them. We have to reverse that. So let's maybe explore a couple of things that communists, or even just statist, leftists, whatever you want to call them, totalitarians, let's look at some of the things that they do to infiltrate and change society. Now, we're not going to go into super detail, but let's explore some ideas anyway. First one is the use of subtlety. Everything that the left does, and by the left, just assume going forward, I'm not talking about your average blue-collar worker, neighbor next door kind of guy. I'm talking about the extreme left. The people in charge, the ones running this agenda, the ones that have it in for this country and have for decades. Everything that they do is on a long-term plan because they know that their ideas, if they just came out and said them out loud, are so counter to America, to Americanism, and what the population believes and wants for their life, they couldn't do it. Especially back when all this started. It might be hard for a millennial or a Gen Z person to believe, but there was a time in this country where most of us got along just fine. And if you had a problem with somebody, it probably had nothing to do with politics. You just thought the guy was a jerk. Didn't matter what color, didn't matter what race, didn't matter what age, whatever. The guy was just, you had a problem with him. The politicians, they always used to duke it out. But when election season was over, we pretty much went back to being Americans. Rarely did people talk about politics too much. It was a part of life. Now it's like all-consuming. Americans were united in being Americans even if we had our differences. You know, scuffled once in a while over things, it didn't matter too badly. There was a common culture and common ideals in the country, Democrat or Republican. So the left couldn't come out and say back in like 1950, we want state-funded abortion. We want free college for everybody. We want to crush the oil industry. We want the Green New Deal. We want to open our borders to anybody and everyone that wants to come in, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Even the Democrats back then would have been absolutely shocked. So they have to be subtle about it. Now, the left is much less subtle right now because they're facing pushback and they're also living in a lie with the election. They know that their support is not as big as the numbers that they produce. So they're being more aggressive right now. But back then, they had to take things in little baby steps. If you had a goal to achieve in changing the minds of Americans, you go slow. You break that down into 100 steps and you spread that over 10, 20, 50 years, depending on what the subject matter is. Obviously something small, maybe you can get it done in a couple of years, 5 years, 10 years. Something that really alters the way that Americans think and is contradictory to the culture and to the Constitution, it might take you half a century to achieve that. But they don't mind that. They have that long-term goal. What they do is they ask for something small, something just outside of what's considered normal, so it's easier to get us to concede, right? And we do, thinking that that's going to be it. They wait, and then they come back again, moving the goalpost just a little further, just a little bit further. On and on that cycle goes for years, decades even, just a little bit at a time. Until one day, they're at a step 100 when you swore at step 5 that that would be the last time that you were going to give in. Because they took their time to advance their ideology and list of desires and everything else, this also allows younger generations to grow along with the changing culture. For example, let's take 1960 as a start date, okay? Got a 20-year-old voter in 1960. Now they're 80, 82 years old, whatever. They lived through step 1 to 100. They got worn down slowly. But they still remember what life was like way back then, when what's accepted today would be absolutely shocking back then. But they got worn down over 50, 60 years, right? Now let's say you have a 20-year-old voter in 1980. They grew up when steps 1 through 20, let's say for example, were going on or completed. They didn't have to accept quite as much as the people before them. Now imagine a kid today turning like 18 or 20, voting for the first time, born in 2000, 2002, right around there. The left has already advanced the ball to step 80 or 90 by the time they were growing up. The cultural rot was almost complete. The decay of American values was almost complete. And they grew up in this. They grew up fully indoctrinated into an America that didn't even exist 20 years ago. This is how the left succeeds. Their problem, and why I think that they're not going to succeed, and we're going to talk more about this in the end, is that the left never stops. They are never satisfied. They never stop pushing boundaries. It's almost like a mental illness with them. They can't help it even when they want to stop. They're perpetually angry. They're perpetually dissatisfied, and they don't actually ever have a definition of what they're trying to accomplish. There's no end goal. We know what our end goal is. We want to abide by the Constitution. We want to abide by the constitutional laws of the United States. We want freedom. We want our free markets. We want to be left alone. We want small government. Just leave us alone and let us live our lives, right? You do what you want to do. I do what I want to do, okay? We know what we want our life to be. Them, they don't. They just don't have a definition of what they want in the end. So they are pushing the culture now to a point where our side is completely shocked and disgusted. And now even people on the left who aren't quite as radical as they are, you know, just normal, like I said, your everyday neighbor, your everyday Democrat neighbor is like, you know what? No, I didn't sign up for this. This is nuts. Those people over there, they sound a lot more rational. I'm out. I'm joining them. So subtlety is a brilliant strategy. It goes back to a podcast I did a couple of episodes ago about people enduring a lot, you know, year after year and tipping points. Most people won't complain or protest. They're not going to rock the boat as long as the basics are covered, you know, their basic needs. So when the left says something that they want and they're yelling and they're screaming and they're acting like children and everything, we think it's easier just to say, ah, give it to them. That's going to keep them quiet. When what we should have done was stop their advance 50 years ago, put our feet down and said, no, you're not getting this. Another way that they get in is school infiltration. Communists in the 60s used to talk about this all the time, that getting infiltrated into the schools was something that they worked on big time. Now, we all know about this, and this is done in three different ways. First, they started to participate locally in elections. They got voted onto school boards, all these administrative roles within the schools, the people that oversee the school system and the hiring. Next, they hire ultra-liberal teachers who's going to go along with their agenda, and they start changing the curriculum. Again, not all at once. They do this concurrently while they're subtly changing the culture in other ways. So then when they change what's going on in the schools, you're more likely to just look the other way and accept it. In fact, if you want to learn a little bit about how at least the Russians started their infiltration, there's a good video on YouTube of a former KGB agent. Hold on, I'm going to look it up and get his name, and I'll edit this part out. Former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov warns America about socialist subversion. That's a great video. I actually played a lot of that on a former podcast episode a long time ago. He talks about how they do it patiently for like 20 years, exactly what I'm talking about, to change the mindset and to demoralize a generation. And this was in the 80s that this interview happened, and he was saying then that we were almost out of time. And I think what happened then was the fall of the Soviets, the rise of Americana again. I think it temporarily kind of halted that, but they continued their work. And this time we also have a lot more influence from China, not Russia, but same goal. They're trying to do the same thing. All right, back to the changing curriculum. We used to be taught math, science, history, English, etc., and there were no politics in the classroom, at least when I was in high school. I'm a Gen Xer. Not only was there no politics in the classroom, meaning, you know, current politics, of course in social studies, history, you talk about different concepts and events in world history, but nobody was talking about current events. You weren't dividing yourselves into liberals and conservatives in the classroom. Nobody knew anything about that. You were there to learn, and when you were in biology class, you didn't have to sit there and listen to your teacher slam the president or talk up communism or put down America or anything like that. Today, a pro-America, pro-capitalism, free market lesson plan in the schools has been replaced with anti-capitalist, pro-socialism agenda. Textbooks that you know, a Gen Xer like me, we, you know, the books that we learn from, that would be considered hate speech today. The founding fathers and the founding of this nation has been twisted and rebranded for the left to push their you know, hate-filled agenda. The Constitution, the greatest document ever, perhaps, one that for the first time in history severely limits the powers of government so people don't have to live under tyranny, that was so common in the rest of the world and continues to be common in the rest of the world. Maybe not outright tyranny, but how many countries in this world can you name where the people are supposed to be the ones that tell their government what rights the government has and not the other way around? It doesn't exist. This is a document responsible for spreading the concept of freedom and natural rights all across the globe. And it's now effectively made fun of in the classroom and again called racist and a tool of white supremacists, right? These liberal teachers are everywhere. And you can't criticize them because the left promoted teachers for so long, they made it impossible. All the bumper stickers, you know, if your kid can read, thank a teacher. Always talking about how hard teachers have it, how hard they're fighting for our kids, how hard they work, and how they're always struggling with money. And, oh, we have to do more for the teachers. We have to treat them better. And don't ever say anything bad about the teachers because they're on our side, right? They're just trying to give our kids a great education. You can't criticize them. What kind of hateful human being has a problem with teachers, right? And therein lies the trap. It was great strategy again. Criticize these people, and we're going to destroy you with name-calling and ridicule. So the liberal socialist teachers start brainwashing your kids, and they've got carte blanche. Used to be just in college, then they dropped it to, you know, lower and lower ages. Now, pretty much as soon as your kids are out of kindergarten, they're being brainwashed. And now that you have liberals that have taken over the school boards and the administrative roles, the textbooks being used to push all this are written by far-left anti-American activists. And parents, for the most part, they don't have a clue what their kids are being taught. They care about the grades, but they don't get involved with finding out what material their kids are being shown. And when the left does get caught, when a kid does show some anti-American propaganda to the parents and it makes the news, the school board says it was an error and they fixed it. No, it wasn't an error. They just got caught. There's a big difference in there. Does anybody lose their jobs? Are the anti-American textbooks thrown out? No, never. So it's all BS. It's all a cover. I don't think I even have to get into the university system. We all know that's being run by, you know, nothing but far-left professors. They tout communism while they make a fortune. Tuitions are through the roof. Well, you know, why is that? It's run by leftists. You'd think they'd have a little bit more mercy on their students, right? No. But the real issue is in college. A lot of these kids are already prepped and ready for the final blow of college long before they get there. They've been trained to be anti-American since childhood, and that's where we need to start, taking back school systems at the local level. This whole critical race theory may have been a giant overstep for the liberals because now parents are fighting back hard, And they're demanding now to know a little bit more about the curriculum in general that their kids are being taught. This might shine a light on how just how bad the school system has become in the United States that we didn't even realize. Again, by never knowing when to stop, when to call it quits, by always pushing and trying to advance to some distant goal on the horizon, liberals often overreach, and hopefully CRT is what starts to reverse this decades-long trend of indoctrination. Another thing that communists or leftists do is they try to separate you from things that have traditionally kept society together and functioning well. The main two would be family and religion. Why family and religion? Because those two things give you a center of morality, a sense of right and wrong. They give you a sense of community and belonging. Those two things for so long in history were people's rocks, their foundations of strength, right? Where they learned character, where they learned morality, where they learned the value of hard work, how to support one another, how to support the community, how to sacrifice, places of safety and unity. And especially with religion, having that moral center, that sense of right and wrong. If you remove that slowly, if you separate somebody from their belief in a higher power, their God, if you convince them that they should be allowed to do whatever they want, whenever they want, that's not a concept the world has lived by ever in our history. It's narcissistic, it's dangerous, it leads to dangerous and selfish behavior that's self-destructive, and it makes that person more likely to do anything, accept anything, and believe anything that's fed to them because they aren't grounded in traditional values. If you have no foundation, no faith, no support system, and no core values, you can be manipulated and twisted into anything that they want you to be. So we've seen this. Church attendance is way down. The left actually ridiculed people for the longest time going to church, right? Calling people Jesus freaks, Christian nut jobs, Bible thumpers. Again, they use ridicule. If you know anything about Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals, which was a book basically for community organizers on how to manipulate the people in the community to get them to do what you want. One of his big things was using ridicule. I'm going to look up the quote. Hold on. All right. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It is almost impossible to counterattack ridicule. Also, it infuriates the opposition, who then react to your advantage. Now, the big student of Saul Alinsky was Barack Obama. So even just knowing this one thing about ridicule, what did you see the left do under Barack Obama for 8 years? Gosh, yeah, 12 years. Thank God it was only 8. The only people who are immune or nearly immune to ridicule are those who are completely 100% self-confident. They don't care what other people think about them, and they have faith in their belief systems 100%. How many people do you know out there like that? If you doubt how effective this is, think of the Republican Party. Think of how many times after facing ridicule and criticism from the left, name-calling, even from the Marxist media, they just crumble, right? How many times have they let us down as soon as the left starts putting pressure on them, calling them names, ridiculing them? They give up their position, they make concessions, and they fold like a deck of cards because they don't want to be on TV being made fun of. They don't have the stomach for it, they don't have the intestinal fortitude, and they don't have the belief. They're there in Washington to better themselves. That's what I keep saying. They do care what people say and think about them, and that makes you ultimately under somebody else's control. If you can't stand up for what you believe in because somebody starts to ridicule you, then you're not under your own self-control. You're under the other person's control. And the Republican Party has been under control of the Democrat Party for decades. The freest people in the world are those that don't let someone's ridicule affect their mind at all. But unfortunately, that's not the case for the vast majority of people around the world. So the left attacked religion, mostly Christianity. Oh, you go to church? What a loser. Why would you go to church instead of watching the game? They make fun of religion in movies, on social media, Saturday Night Live skits, in songs, making you think that their immoral lives are the way to live, and making you feel like an outsider if you're religious. And once you give up that moral base, now they've got you. Same thing with family. Everyone, Democrat and Republican, they used to promote the age-old idea of a nuclear family and how important that is to a healthy child development, right? Now it's basically anything goes. Notice how I'm dancing around using some terms here because I risk having my podcast taken down thanks to censorship. Isn't that nice? How about concepts like it takes a village? How about schools trying to get kids to stay there long enough to get like 3 meals a day there and not be with the family? How about the left making decisions for your kids in the schools like birth control, medical procedures, etc., that would have been unheard of in the past? Chicago just decided to make it mandatory to make condoms available to fifth graders. Fifth grade. You know how old you are in fifth grade? You're like 10, 11 years old. And the shooting gallery of Chicago is going to be handing them condoms. Again, the slow progression of insanity. Go back to 1955. Let a Chicago school board say they're going to hand out condoms to an 11-year-old and see what happens to them. Right? Now, hardly raises an eyebrow. And my voice is getting scratchy today. Maybe the last thing we'll touch on with the communists and the left is their seizure of the mainstream news. And that seizure has been so effective that even as mass media has changed over the decades, they were the ones to effectively control most of it and thereby shape public opinion. You had leftists running Hollywood and the TV studios. So all that time, they were using subtle hints in their programming to influence your thoughts. And if you think that that can't be true, go back and watch some of your favorite shows from the past. Watch them now, now that you're more tuned into how the left operates, and you'll suddenly see the leftist slant all over the place. You didn't notice it before because the division in the country hadn't happened yet. Once the real division started under Obama, and now that you know what to look for it, you can go back and you can see that it was there all along. What started on radio, newspapers, and television, it eventually spread to cable and the cable news giants like CNN and MSNBC. And then when the internet hit, the left really found their stride. Not only did they now have hold of the mainstream press, they now had a way to put those same platforms online and create millions more. Bloggers everywhere, leftist articles everywhere, leftist websites everywhere. Not only that, when social media hit, all of those companies were run by and owned by leftists. Social media was how the young communicated, how they shared ideas. And once the left took that over, it's the leftist ideology that was being spread every minute of the day. That article I read to you several podcasts back, it said something like young people spend 8 hours a day staring at their phone. Kids, right? So that's 8 hours of propaganda being fed to them every single day. That takeover of all media maybe had the biggest influence on millennials and probably after that. But millennials also went through the whole leftist it takes a village BS and also their revision of the schools where, you know, you didn't keep score in soccer and everybody got a participation trophy and it all worked. I want to read you a bit from an article back in 2019 from Insider. Headline, 70% of millennials say they'd vote for a socialist. This is five facts about how their debt-saddled economic situations will tell you why. 70% of millennials and 64% of Gen Z said they'd be somewhat or extremely likely to vote for a socialist candidate, according to a recent poll conducted by data and research firm YouGov for the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. The survey polled 2,100 Americans aged 16 and older. Just 44% of Gen X and 36% of baby boomers expressed favorable takes on socialist candidates. Millennials and Gen Z are also less likely to feel very or somewhat favorable towards capitalism at 50 to 49% compared to the 58% of Gen X and 63% of boomers who feel warmly towards free markets. Now, I'm Gen X. Even these numbers shock me in my own generation. Go back in time when the left was at their first steps of reshaping the culture, and none of these numbers would be like this at all. There is no chance that if you go back in time a half a century, 40 years, that 70% of a generation would even consider voting for a socialist. But here we are. Assuming that these polls are even remotely accurate, here we are. Those between ages 25 and 34 have only seen a $29 average income increase since 1974 when adjusted for inflation, according to a new SuperMoney report that analyzed U.S. Census Bureau data. These numbers are especially significant when compared to other age groups adjusted for inflation. Adults age 35 to 44 made nearly $2,900 more, and 45 to 54 saw an income growth of nearly $5,400 over the same time period. College tuition has increased at an even faster rate than wages. From the late 80s to 2018, the cost of an undergraduate degree increased by 213% at public schools and 129% at private schools, adjusting for inflation. Consequently, the national total student loan debt now exceeds $1.5 trillion. The average student loan debt per graduating student in 2018 who took out loans is $29,800. The median price of home sales has increased by 39% since the 1970s, according to the SuperMoney report. National health care has increased $9,000 since 1970, according to the SuperMoney report. In 1960, the average annual health care insurance cost per person was $146. In 2016, it hit $10,345. CNBC reported that's a full 9 times higher when adjusted for inflation. It also says that more than half of millennials are in deep credit card debt. So that was just touching on highlights of the article, but what's the key issue? Finances and cost of living. So what do the social democrats do? What do the communists come in and promise? They come in and they promise free healthcare, free college, debt forgiveness, etc., right? This absolute fantasy that you can tax the rich and everything in the world will be free for everybody. When you no longer believe in personal responsibility, not taking from your neighbor what isn't yours, what you didn't work for, when you have zero concept of the Constitution, the founding of the country, the history of this country, because you weren't taught it in school and you weren't taught what socialism has always led to, it becomes very enticing for these people. But millennials wouldn't be embracing socialism without the left's most powerful tool in their kit, which is creating division by creating an enemy. Man, I hope my voice lasts. The sad thing is that enemy is not a foreign one, but the goal of leftists, communists, whatever you want to call them, they are one and the same. It is to pit people against each other in the same country. We've talked about this a lot of times in this podcast, but this is how we arrived here. This is how we arrived where we are today. New report out, I saw just a headline I'm remembering, said that race relations today are at the lowest point, I think it was in decades. All right, that's by design. That's on purpose. The divide between the left and right is at a fever pitch. You know that. Again, by design. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's from the Bible. It's as true now as it was back then. If you want something to fall apart, cause infighting. So the leftists start to antagonize, ridicule, put blame for all of society's troubles on a perceived enemy among us. And that is us, the conservative, the capitalist. At the same time, they convince the ones that they want to control their minds that they're victims, that their lives are being held back by somebody else, by us, that they're not getting jobs that they wanted, they aren't getting money, they're not getting the life that they want because somebody else is being greedy and they're taking it from them. Not because they aren't qualified, not because they studied non-binary pagan basket weaving in college. No, that's got nothing to do with it. The left convinces them that those living among them, their fellow citizens, are their sworn enemy. With all of us fighting ourselves, with all of us pitted against each other, all of us are blinded and weaker, and the ones who aren't weak are the deep state who just keep taking more and more power illegally and in direct contradiction to the Constitution. So now that we've reached this level, convinced America's youth to vote for socialists, we have elected socialists like in office, like AOC and Bernie and all that. They've got control of the media, apparently control our voting system as well. Let's look through a few headlines. Let's look at how their agenda is playing out in front of our faces, because this one caught my eye and I think it's important. It's from the Gateway Pundit. Biden White House communications director believes big tech should be held accountable for misinformation on their platforms. This is Section 230. This is something we've talked about numerous times on the show. The gist of 230 is it treats social media giants as providers of platforms, not as publishers themselves. So this means they provide a place where publishers, that's you and your YouTube channel or your Twitter feed, come to post things. And those companies can't be sued for what you post. At the same time, they're supposed to regulate certain material in good faith that threatens violence, child porn, that kind of thing. But instead, they ban conservatives and they violate that good faith clause. Now, the communications director on the surface is talking about revoking 230 completely and making the companies open to lawsuits, which would effectively close every single social media company online, every blog, every feedback page on a website, etc., all over the internet. It would crush the internet. But let's look a little closer to something else that she said in the interview. Here's the quote from this Marxist nut. There are conservative news outlets out there who are creating irresponsible content. There it is. So what she's really doing here is she's getting on the media and she's threatening the big tech companies that they want to revoke 230, but then she says what she really wants. She wants them to crack down further on conservatives. Do that and we'll leave you alone. Do that for us. Ban any content that disagrees with our agenda, and we'll make this whole 230 protection question just disappear. That power to threaten the media and control what you see and hear is classic communist dictator tactics. Watch now, social media is going to start cracking down even harder on conservatives doing the bidding of government. How's this one? Patriot. The word patriot is now hate speech. MSNBC warns viewers to be on the lookout for online groups that use the word patriot that's used by a group of dangerous Americans. Be on the lookout? And then what? Oh, you mean turn them in. You mean report them. Like the Biden administration has been talking about all along, keeping an eye on your neighbors. Report your family members if you have to for suspicious behavior or breaking COVID restrictions, right? Now, they want you to watch for groups that use the word patriot because patriots aren't real Americans anymore. They're dangerous radicals. Anyone who would love their country like that has got to be crazy, right? You see how dangerous this is getting? All right, I know that was a lot of annoying, frustrating information to take in, but let's take stock of all this. If we look at the situation, there are two ideologies in opposition to each other, right? Ours, which is liberty, individual rights, free markets, free speech, etc. Theirs is all-powerful government, censorship, controlled economy, tyranny. We have seen over and over throughout history that once these statist governments rise to power, usually on a bunch of lies, there is an inevitable crash eventually. The Soviets, Venezuela, even China, they had to go largely capitalist in order to survive, though they're still under brutal control. We're seeing Cuba, after 60 years, finally fight back and rebel and fight for their freedom. Now, why will all these attempts fail at communism? Why will communism and tyranny never win the day? Because this goes against human nature. It is completely contrary to what's inside everybody's heart. Men yearn for freedom. They want to be free to pursue their own interests, do what makes them happy. They want to be largely left alone. Any society that gets duped by the false promises of communism, they quickly regret it. Once reality sets in, once they start to enforce their rules, and then they all spend their time trying to get their freedom back. That's the danger. Once you lose freedom, it's hard to get it back. You can vote in communism, but you can never vote it out again. Once you allow dictators to rule, they only give up their power one way, and that's always at the tip of a spear, so to speak. There is always violence involved trying to win back freedom. People around the world are looking to us, whether it be people fighting against their vaccine passport mandates or the Cubans trying to oust the communists. They look to America as a beacon because we have what they want, or at least we used to have it. Now we're becoming more like them every day. But in the heart of every person is a desire to be free. That right, as our Constitution states, what makes that document so special is that our rights to freedom aren't granted to us by a benevolent government. We are born with them. They're natural rights. The government cannot take them away, or they are breaking the Constitution. If they do that, we are no longer being governed, we are being ruled. Right now in the streets of France, England, Belgium, and Greece, and most importantly in Cuba, people have reached their limit with tyranny. They're tired of this small band of despots telling us what we can or cannot do. Remember, most of us vote for these people to be in office. We don't vote for dictators. We vote for people to govern. They're not masters. There is nothing special about these people. In fact, they're the most inconsequential, stupid people that we could probably elect. They don't have unlimited power just because they're in government. And yet, many people treat them that way, as if what they say is the ultimate authority. Not here. Our Constitution is the ultimate authority. Our concept of natural rights and limited government is starting to take hold. The left has pushed and pushed around the world, even with COVID, 2 weeks to slow the spread, and telling us everybody was going to get it, and we just had to slow it down, but we're all going to get infected, has turned into, you must get vaccinated, or we're going to limit your ability to participate in society, right? They started with what we'd accept, used the communist playbook of small steps and subtlety and fear, and now we see the situation that we face. And people are rising up and demanding that they have a say with their own bodies, and in Cuba's case, in their own government and their ability to participate in the outside world. Our side is mobilizing like never before. We're more aware of the tyranny that's coming than ever we were before. And every day that the left tightens its grip, the more people slip through their fingers and join us on the side of freedom. Yes, I was thinking of Princess Leia when I said that. The left have done what the left have always done. They went way past where they should have stopped. Now they've angered the entire world. And that tipping point that I talked about recently, I think is closer than ever before. They don't stand a chance against all of the people in this world who want to live free. Just know that no matter how difficult things get, if we stay together, spread our message, and be willing to stand up for what we believe in, we win. Hands down, without a question. We have been free for way too long, and we are not giving that up anytime soon. All right, that's it for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people who would like it, share it with them. I am on TikTok at Conservative Roots Podcast. I have an apparel shop, conservativeroots.net, and I'm also on Telegram at Conservative Roots Podcast. Have a great day. Talk to you again soon. Take care.